You got to play. You got to go and enjoy. God made all these beautiful mountains and beaches. You got to go away. Yes. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Yes. You know, I told y'all before that usually your brother, Minister Jerry, he'll call me on Sunday mornings and pray with me. And he did this morning. We were talking and the Lord shared something with me. You know how we're going about our day and different things, and then the devil likes to bring something to discourage you or just distract you from God. The Holy Spirit said something while I was on the phone. He said, distract the devil. Distract the demon. When a demon comes to distract you, distract that demon. Yes. And then he said, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Here's this man full of demons. Full of demons. And the devil's job was to control the man to do exactly what the man was supposed to do in terms of what the demons wanted the man to do. They got so distracted, they said, we know who you are. We know exactly who you are. Are you come to torment us before the time? You're distracted from your purpose. Amen. Your purpose was just to be in this man and to just make that man do what you want him to do. You're distracted. Got so distracted that they went from the person to the pigs. Yes. They said, listen. Can we go to the pigs? Do you know you can distract demons to such a point? And let me say something else that you may not have thought about. Even in that same instance, demons are fearful. Yes. Well, can we go? Are you here to torment us before the time? There's not one devil who has ever made you fear that demon himself is not fearful. Every devil is fearful. Even Satan himself.
Yes.
We talked about it last week. What is happening? You have this big horse, 300-500 pound horse or more, 700-800 pound horse, and you have a little 2-pound snake. That horse is going to go crazy and run the other. Why? It's not because it looks slimy. He doesn't care about that. Do you know, if you remember last message, what is it about the serpent, as we're in the series about understanding serpents, what is it about the serpent that startles the snake? It's agility. It's quickness. That's why I said last week in the message, when we are quick to do God's will, it shocks the enemy.
Yes. Amen.
It startles the devil. Because every time God tells us to do something, what happens? The devil comes and talks. And so we say this, I'm thinking. You're not thinking, you're listening. You're listening to demons. Demons are saying, it ain't going to work, or, you know, this going to happen, this, that, and the other. So I say, well, I know what God said, but I'm just thinking. You're not thinking, you're listening. And then you're not doing what God said do.
Amen.
So what is going to happen then? God called you to do it. Who else does he have but you? He told you to do it.
Amen.
Now the devil has us scared. Why does the devil have us scared? Because the devil is scared. Those demons are scared. Why do you think a snake does that when we come up to it? Why do you think the cat does that? I've said this over and over and over and over because it is scared. And it's trying to scare us away. Don't let the devil do that to you. Please don't. Don't. Distract every demon from its purpose or his purpose, because every devil is male. Every devil is male. Distract that demon from his purpose. Distract. You come to get me discouraged? Oh, glory be to God. Father, I just love you. The devil is like, what are you talking? No, it's not going to work out. Father, you already worked it out.
Amen.
He's talking about it's not going to work out. You already, as a matter of fact, Father, there's a demon here talking to me. And demon, I know you used to be an angel because the Bible says you used to be an angel. And all of the angels used to praise and worship God. So you talking all this stuff, why don't you lift your unholy hands and let's just both worship God. Even because of what you're saying, just lift your evil hands and worship him where you are, you devil. We let demons talk to us, but we don't like talking back to them. We will just sit there quiet and just let them talk, just let them talk, just let them talk. And we get further and further into the depths of despair. And God is like, that's not what I said to you, though. That's not, what are you talking about?
Right.
I preach this morning, 10 a.m., as you know, at the Oaks, as I do every Sunday morning, and I ask them, I said, why is it so easy to believe the devil, and it's so difficult to believe God? Why is it immediately we believe the negative? But when God said, that's not what I, and somebody said, well, you know, the negative comes. And then after that, then somebody says, well, it's going to be all right. No, you knew it was going to be all right before the negative even came. God came first.
Yes.
Why is it we stop believing that God is taking care of us? Everything's going great. We're walking by sight. Everything's going fine. There. Then soon something negative comes up. Oh my goodness. God has already spoken. I don't care how it looks.
Amen.
Just like the snake, just like the serpent, Jesus said, be wise as a serpent. Serpents are nearly blind and they can't hear a thing. But they strike 90%. Get it? Why? Y'all talk to me. Y'all been here. Why? Because of the system in them. The system in them knows exactly what's in front of them.
Amen. Yes.
What do we have in us? We got the Word of God. Yeah. What do we have? We have the Holy Spirit of God. But immediately, we believe the negative. Wow. So we're going to have to look at our lives and say, who am I serving? Who do I serve more? God? Or the devil? Who do I believe more? I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost? Not with a mighty burning fire, but I believe demons more than I believe God. I'm more emotionally charged when I hear something negative than I am praiseworthy. God is praiseworthy. God, you're just wonderful. The newspapers would go completely out of business if all they published was good news.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Who watches CNN for good news? Wow. It's the bad news. It's the bad stuff that holds our attention.
Yeah.
Somebody calls you with a bunch. Oh, guess what the Lord did? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Oh, boy, gracious. Let them call about something negative. No. No, no, no. Back up. What'd you say? What'd you say? Go back. What'd you say?
All right. You might have said so.
It's the truth. That's exactly how we are. This is, and it's worldly. It's ungodly.
Amen.
Yes.
And then after all of that, you say, you know, I feel alone. Feel alone. Like nobody loves me. Nobody really, really, really cares for me. I know people say it and stuff, but I just don't. And then when somebody comes to bring you that genuine love and comfort, we don't really know how to accept it because we're so used to being alone. That's the most comfortable part of us.
Yes.
And so we focus on that instead of God. when God has sent people into our lives for us. Say, well, I feel like this, I feel like that. Listen, let me tell you, I'm not here to change how you feel. I am not here to cancel your feelings. I am here to feel with you.
Amen.
And to help you through it so you can feel better. Not trying to change your feelings. I feel like this. I feel like that. People say, oh, don't feel that way. How can you tell somebody don't feel that way? No, I'm here to feel with you.
Amen.
Let's work through this together.
Yes.
Like I told you a few Sundays ago, somebody referencing a situation said, are you burdened? I said, yes, I'm burdened. They're like, you're burdened? I said, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens.
Yes.
We're supposed to be burdened. If somebody is going through something that you know and you're not feeling it, what the world? I'm in this with you.
Yes.
This is affecting. It's affecting. It's affecting. That's who we are. Hallelujah. We're here for each other. That's why we have small groups. That's exactly why we have small groups that we're going to talk about today. Different kind of situation. Do you know why, I know the members know, why our church is called the Feast of the Lord? As you've heard me say, I never wanted to pastor, ever. I said, I'm just going to evangelize, sell my books and cassettes. You remember cassettes? We don't have those no more. I said, I'll just sell my books and cassettes and preach and just come back to the church where I was going and just keep serving. But God told me to start a church 22 years ago. And he said, I want you to call it the Feast of the Lord. He said, because it's not going to be about you, Shane Wall. And then he gave me this analogy. He said, when you go to a feast, you don't have one pot of food. He said, I want you to train everybody how to minister to anybody. So it will be the Feast of the Lord. And that is what we are. And that's why small groups are so important. It's so important for us. On a Sunday morning, there's not back and forth talk. It's not discussion time. But in small groups, hallelujah, the Spirit of God is moving in here. I don't know who you are at this time. God isn't giving it to me, whether you're here or listening and watching, but you've been having chest pains and you've been worried about it. But the Lord heals you now in Jesus' name. Be thou healed. In Jesus' name. All right, I just saw two things. I saw salt, and then I saw water on top of it. So whoever you are, quit with the salt. And you need to drink water, much more water than what you're drinking.
Amen.
All right, God done healed spiritually, but now naturally you're going to have to do that. And then I heard somebody, well, I don't add salt. That you eat food that's got enough salt in it that you don't have to add it. So stop. Hallelujah. God says, uh-oh. She said, uh-oh, that's right. So stop. Thank you, Lord. Okay, good. You got your word. Praise God. We're here to help each other. That's the whole point. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I wanted to call Ms. Jade. I would like for Jerry to come up. Dr. Ebony Fowler. Sean Isaac Cleveland. And almost principal, Travis Jennings. God is a good God. Amen to God. God is just real. Isn't he? Now, I'm looking forward to what God is going to do for this 8 weeks of our what?
Small groups.
It's going to be so good, so good. Now, they're free to join, free to explore, and free to grow. That is what small groups are all about. We're just all going to come together in the different small groups that's in different parts of the city. And once you register, then you'll get an email back to let you know exactly where your small group will be held. And so we're going to tell you about the different small groups and what they are all about. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Faith Builders. Preschool and elementary with Jade Cleveland, Yolanda Bregman, Travis Jennings, and Caitlin Elias. Woo! Yes. So that's for the preschool and for elementary school age kids. Let's build strong kids with unshakable faith. You know, I was just saying this morning at the other service, children, they believe. They have faith like that. You say Easter Bunny, psh, you say Santa Claus, put your tooth under and you're going to get money from tooth. Children believe. The question was this that I asked them. Where did we learn to doubt? We grew up believing. Where did we learn to doubt? When did we learn to doubt? When we just grew up believing whatever we were told. Nothing but the devil. Who taught us to doubt? Oh, it's quiet in the house. So let's take the faith that children already have and let's increase it. Let's make it bolder and stronger. And I'll say why in just a little bit. In this interactive 8-week small group, children will lay spiritual bricks like obedience, trust, forgiveness, and courage through Bible stories, object lessons, building games, and creating crafts. They'll gain a mountain-moving faith, just as Jesus promised. Children already believe, and in my new book about spells and curses, I talk about believing. How do you get somebody to believe? Well, you start with something that they already believe, and then go, that's what Jesus did. He was trying to get the woman to know that the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. Why was he talking about water? Because she already believed about water. They were at a well. It was the woman at the well. So the way you get somebody to believe something is start with what they already believe and build on that. Children already have strong belief. That is just something that they do. And then you take that and you build on. I'm not taking over, I promise. I know you're gonna talk. But I want you to understand how important it is that our children, our grandchildren, nieces, nephews, little brothers and sisters, that they come so that they can learn, so that they can have faith, even faith that we don't have. I remember this one little boy. Oh, my goodness, I wanted to adopt him so badly. This is like 30-something years ago. Yeah, I was on TV, on TBN, a TBN station in Georgia. And this little boy was in there. I was like, oh, my goodness. He told his aunt one time. I think he was like 4 or 5 years old. He said, Aunt Deb, I rebuke that headache of yours right now. I rebuke it right now. She said, Cody, I don't have a headache. He said, well, I rebuke it for it comes. The faith of a child. Before the headache even comes, I'm telling you, you cannot come.
Amen.
We're going to have children going around here. What's wrong today, Daddy? Tell me what's wrong. I'll get the devil for you. Amen to God. Oh, I believe it just like that. Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Talk to us some more. because I didn't already talk so much, but talk to us some more about this small group. Oh, first of all, introduce yourself.
So my name is Jade. I'm one of the ministers here. I'm director of children's ministry, and I'm a child welfare social worker.
Amen. Amen. Now, talk to us about your small group.
So this small group, Faith Builders, we all believe something. Everybody has belief in something. Everybody has faith in something. And it's just like we all have our houses.
Right.
And when our house looks good, when it's put together, we want people to come over. It's a sense of confidence that we have. Mm. But when it's cluttered, when it's in shambles, we don't want nobody to come over. And so with this small group, it's going to teach children how to respond to God and whatever situation they may face. And we're going to be uncovering different layers that the children can use, they can activate, because faith is activated when we hear God's word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So during this small group, the children are going to learn how to be strong kingdom kids, how to be strong in their own houses and not let it be shattered and stumbled. So I was talking with a child one day and just asking them, you know, how's school going, different things. And they were telling me what was going on. And right before I could minister to them, they said, they smiled and said, oh, it's okay. I just love. And so that let me know right there that their house is strong. Their house is built on
Now, when they say they just love, that means no matter what people are doing to them, what they do, their response is to love.
Yes.
Wow.
That's their response. And even in the Bible, there's different scriptures about how Jesus was saying how we should become like a child, because Jesus knew that y'all are not going to believe me. So I'm going to have to talk about the kingdom of heaven as unto a child, because their faith, they just believe whatever you tell them. And even when Jesus was a child, his parents, they were worried. They were looking for him. And when they came back and found Jesus, Jesus told them, I'm about my Father's business.
That's right.
So just think, as a parent, we always want the best for our children. We always want to make sure that they respond well, even when we're not around them. And so when they have the faith to respond like that and to act, even when we're not around, that brings us joy, that brings us gratitude, knowing that we've trained them, knowing that their house has been built upon that rock. And so this small group is going to teach children how to remain strong, how to stand no matter what you face, no matter what the storm is, and to respond in that faith like God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And next, Dr. Jerry, level up. This is for the teenagers with Jerry Solange and Athena Moore, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. So this 8-week experience helps teens level up in their relationship with God, their understanding of who they are, and their impact on the world. Everybody needs to understand, especially teens, their current impact on the world. Every session is interactive. Every session featuring games, real-life discussions, scripture-based challenges, and practical tools to foster growth in faith. And the Bible says in Matthew 7:24, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Talk to us, mighty man of God. You're going to be talking to the teenagers.
Yes, sir.
Usually you're talking to the men and different ones, not the teenagers. First, tell us what you do, and then I have a question for you.
My name is Jerry Solange, and I'm a minister here at the Feast. I'm a manager at Starbucks, and I usually get to go to minister and play basketball with the youth at the YMCA here in Orangeburg.
Why do you play basketball at the YMCA with the young people?
because it started off with my journey with God, just wanting to see kids saved. I had like a
So hunger. You use it as a witnessing?
Yes. So okay. I started to see the Bible more realistically that God is using my gift of basketball, because I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't know I was that good to people, because it's like, for you to be that small, you could jump in all. I was like, because that's not normal, obviously, to them. So God using what he has given us to be good at to glorify him, and then it brings people to you. Mm. So that attraction drew people to me, and I was able to witness, see people saved, minister to kids who were just going through things, and just being able to build relationships with kids of every race, all different types of stuff. People are really going through things, and some kids are parentless. So it's kind of bothering, because we don't really know what these kids are going through, and we see their behaviors, or we see them acting out, or just acting in a way that we would say is unseemly. So then being able to minister love to them, they end up being able to say, oh man, God is cool. God is this way. Like, it isn't this, I got to wear a suit every day, which is what most of them think. Mm-hmm. That you just have to come here, wear a suit, and then you follow a set of rules. And if you don't, God just going to backhand you or something. So it's just been a great experience, and it keeps growing. We're able to see more kids come to Christ.
What gave you the heart for teenagers like that? Personally, why teenagers for you? That was the question I had.
I believe it started when I was a youth, just seeing how lost I was, seeing the difference between being in the world and trying to do it with God and the back burner and say, well, I know God, I'm a praying, I'm a read one Bible verse a day, but I'm a live any kind of way I want, go to parties, do whatever. But just seeing the severity of where I was mentally just off. I mean, just destroying my own life. And you really think that you're having fun. They think when they go to parties, when they smoke, when they drink, all of the things that I thought was cool in college and high school to try to fit in, to hide the insecurity, the depression, the suicidal thoughts, all of the things that would come with my life. It was really saddening to see when Jesus came into my life that I was really destroying my life. And the enemy was using me to destroy my own life. Because God gives us choice. The enemy can't do it unless you give him legality to. So when the kids don't know that, and they get to see, oh, Jesus wants me to live right, and it's a reasoning behind it.
That's right.
You were made to have an abundant life, to have fun, to be in joy, not depression, not to be saddened every day, to be suicidal, all of these things people are
going through. What saddens young people today? Whether it's sad or angry or depressed, what have you seen in teenagers that you've ministered to recently that's the heaviest?
They don't know their identity, because either they have no community, their parents aren't teaching them.
Identity meaning?
In God. Like, they don't know that they were created to do great things. Okay. I'm pretty sure if we knew from jump, or those of us who didn't know, God created me to do this, this, and this. Or you were created to go and do great things for me. He wanted to send you to travel, speak word, and see people healed. All of these things would probably capture a mind.
So it's not money. It's not relationships. It's not school. The biggest thing that you're hearing is a lack of love, a lack of knowing my purpose.
Yes, they don't know their purpose.
Goodness.
They don't know where their life is supposed to be. They're thinking, well, if I get this job, then I can make enough money. But then the money comes, and now you're just working all the time. You're too tired to spend it. If you work at a factory, it's just, I'm just running the rat race and just getting these jobs. I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to go here, because now this job made me mad. And then you're always swaying, and you're never content. So your life is just surrounded by unstableness.
So in this small group,
we will be teaching these teens their true God-given identity and showing them who they really are, that they are the catalyst for what God wants to do in this current time, that they are called for such a time as this, that they were not made to just sit here and be depressed and to be burdened down, but that Jesus offers that relief to them. Mm. And when they learn who Jesus really is, they will be able to walk
Thank you, Lord.
Stay in God and not think it's just a Sunday thing, and they will see a relationship with God,
right.
A relationship with Jesus is fun, and that is not burdensome.
Right.
His yoke is easy, his burden is light.
That's right.
So being able to give them that understanding will be able to break that stigma that most of us thought, I guess, I know, me, thinking God was just a religion set, and they'll be able to know who they are and why God created them. And I know it's going to change the way they are for the rest of their lives.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A lot of times young people are like, I can't quit doing wrong. I'm trying to stop doing wrong. I keep doing wrong, keep doing wrong. But what you do, Jesus didn't talk about a whole bunch of wrong. He talked about a whole bunch of right. Yes. And it's like the song they taught when I was in school on the chorus, keep so busy praising my Jesus, ain't got time to die. I'm so busy doing what's right. I don't even have time to. I'm too tired to do wrong. I've been doing right so much. So teaching them, this is what we do. Forget what you're not supposed to. If you do this, you won't have time to do that. Amen. And just keeping them with what this situation comes, this is how you respond. That situation come out, that's how you respond.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Next, for the women's strength and surrender, with Dr. Ebony Fowler, Mondays at 6:10 p.m. Amen. Isn't that nice? She's going to give you 10 extra minutes to get there so you won't be late. God is just so good. Strength and Surrender is a Christ-centered fitness group where we honor God with our bodies through joyful movement and worship. Each session will be a fun and energizing workout set to uplifting Christian music, creating a space filled with praise, purpose, and positivity. This is more than a workout. It's a celebration of life, health, and the one who gives them to us. Now, this scripture is so powerful. Proverbs 31:17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I mean, is that not the most perfect scripture for this small group? Talk to us about this, please. Strength and surrender. At first, tell us what you do, and then we go forth from there.
It was close enough. Okay. My name is Ebony. I am an operating room nurse. I lead the prayer team here, the dance team, and I help always. And I help Pastor Chilla in the accounting office.
Amen.
So Strength and Surrender is basically a continuation of the Summer Splash. We enjoyed
it. Oh, they enjoyed that.
Yeah, we enjoyed it so much. It was like, we have to do a continuation. 4 weeks wasn't enough, we got to do 8 weeks.
Wow.
So that's what we're doing. We're gonna do the same thing, ladies, for the ones who were there. But I changed it up in the sense of it's gonna be more impactful, more energy. I changed up the routines. It's gonna be different songs. We're really gonna have fun for Jesus, because it's not just a workout. It's like a praising. Just preparing for this small group. Oh, y'all should talk to my family. I had so much fun just coming up with the routines and just praising God.
Wow.
That was the best part for me. It was just praising God. So, and also, I shared this before. I do not like working out, but I do love to dance.
Mm.
So those two together is what really is really going to seal it for the ones who don't like to work out, because, you know, it's a chore, right?
Right.
It's like washing dishes sometimes.
Trust me,
but
I know.
We have to do it to prepare ourselves, because we're going to get one body. I heard someone say that this is our body is the ticket on earth. It's our ticket on earth. So we have to take care of it.
Yeah.
So if we can do it in a fun way and also have the support of other ladies doing it with
us. Right.
I think that we're all really just going to enjoy it again, and it's going to be 10 times better than it was before.
Woo! All right. Every lady, this is open to everybody. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody. Sign up for Strength and Surrender. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, the baby. Don't worry. Mommy gonna sign up. Don't worry. Ooh, speaking of mommy, they have cooked for us today. Let's go and support them. Let's support their business at the church. When I tell you authentic Jamaican food right through that door, let's hurry up so we can get there. So, next, Bible hermeneutics with John Isaac Cleveland, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. You know, many people feel discouraged from studying the Bible simply because they don't know how. But God never meant for his word to intimidate us. He wants us to understand it, enjoy it, and live it. So get God equipped. Yo, get equipped. Oh, God equipped. I like that. I just added something in there. Get God equipped with practical tools you can use every day to enjoy your own personal Bible study that will be engaging and delightful. Amen. We're coming to enjoy so that we can go in our own personal time and enjoy Bible study. Because I'm not going to ask for raising of your hands, but you can raise the hand in your heart if you will say, studying the Bible really isn't fun to me. It's not really enjoyable, you know. I'll read a verse here and there or whatever, but it's not really enjoyable. And you're saying it is because people really don't understand how to do it. So tell us who you are, what you do, and then let's talk about hermeneutics.
My name is John Isaac Cleveland. I am a minister here at the Feast of the Lord. My day job is a forklift driver at a company called GXO Logistics inside of Allied Air's building. And hi. So my story with the Bible is my dad's a pastor, so I've grown up, you know, in a Christian home. But I didn't get serious about the Lord until my junior year in high school. Now, all the way up until this point, my mom would read Bible stories to me as I'm going to bed, had the children's Bible, it was fun with the pictures and everything, had the original version of Superbook, you know, all of these different ways I'm getting the Bible fed into me. But again, my junior year in high school was when I seriously decided to go after God myself. And I started reading the Bible, and I started finding stories that I would hear about in Sunday school. I was like, oh, that's where this is. But then you get to books like the book of Proverbs in high school, and then I start seeing things that I read about happening the very next day. I'm like, you gossiping about something? I just read about you last night. It's, you know, it's that kind of thing. So I'm seeing the Bible unfold. And the Lord was using moments like that to show me everything I need to live this life in a way that's pleasing to him is right here in the Bible.
Wow.
And so from then, I was hooked.
Gracious. So talk to us about what hermeneutics means.
Hermeneutics is a fancy word for the science of interpretation, specifically when it comes to the Bible. And breaking that word down a little bit more, in Greek mythology, you have Hermes. You may have heard of him. He's the one who is responsible for giving a message. So that's where the word hermeneutics comes in, where you're trying to draw out the message that the scriptures are already giving. And so there are different ways of doing hermeneutics, ways of approaching the scripture.
Give us an example.
Yes. One common way that we do that is called topical Bible study. So you have a specific topic that you find multiple scriptures that are talking about it. So you have blessings, what it means to be blessed or what it means to be cursed, what it means to be righteous in the sight of God, adultery, you know, or thievery, all of these different things. Like you have specific topics in scripture. And so that's one way. You have biographical studies where you're focusing on a specific person throughout scripture from the first time they're mentioned all the way to the last time they're mentioned. And in that, we can see ourselves. And so, and we see ourselves in many of the people we read about in the scriptures. Another way is called type Bible study. Type meaning a type of Christ. So for example, the lamb or the ram in the bush with Abraham and Isaac. That ram is a type of Christ. It was a foreshadowing of Jesus who would step in our place and sacrifice himself so that we would be saved. So you have multiple examples of that throughout scripture. So there are many other ways and methods, but those are just a few that once you understand them, you can then apply them to your own personal Bible study, and it will help you enjoy the Word of God more.
Praise the Lord. And you know, we practice hermeneutics all the time. We'll read a scripture and say, "Ooh, this is what I need because that says to me." So we're drawing out of that scripture. And so using that for Bible study because it personally affects you. And this is something that you are being helped by. So you're drawing it out and using it instead of just reading the Bible, but living it and seeing how, as you did, I see how it relates to life. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And that is Tuesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Now that will be here in the sanctuary every Tuesday, 6 to 7. So that's going to be so good, so good. Oh, I never did your scripture, so I'll do that now. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God. Ooh. Approved, tested by trial. A workman who have no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Wow. It's going to help on all fronts. Amen. Now we're going to talk about the men who fear the Lord with Travis Jennings Thursday at 6 p.m. Amen. As men, we're called to walk in the fear of the Lord, honoring him with our whole hearts, intentions, and actions. We must overcome sin and pursue the will of the Father. Together, as brothers, we'll submit to accountability and draw strength from one another. It's time to rise and be bold examples of our love for God, for both believers and unbelievers to see. Your scripture is Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk and live in your truth. Direct and unite my heart solely, reverently to fear and honor your name. Talk to us about men who fear the Lord.
So first, my name is Travis Jennings. I'm a school counselor.
Where are you a school counselor?
At Marshall Elementary School.
Marshall Elementary.
And I'm also the co-director of Children's Ministry.
Yes.
So praise God for that. So so I chose the scripture. This is David speaking. And David was praying and talking to God in times of trouble. And as you see, the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord means to have reverence of God, to appreciate, to honor and respect God. And in our man group, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord, to have that reverence and recognizing, you know, God's holiness, his greatness, his majesty, because he's our Lord, he's our Father.
That's right.
And in this small group, we're going to grow as men and learn how to grow of the fear of the Lord. And the reason why a lot of men do not know how to fear the Lord because they don't have the understanding. Hmm. And also,
what is your understanding, your personal understanding of the fear of the Lord?
Knowing that he's our Father and he deserves respect, that he is Lord, he is our God. He's worthy to be praised. But a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand on a daily basis.
Right.
And also, a lot of people don't fear the Lord. And if you don't fear the Lord, you wouldn't sin.
Give us an example of fearing the Lord, because it's not like, oh, I'm scared of you. Give us an example.
So there's two types of fears. So the spirit of fear, that's like being afraid. Mm-hmm. But the fear of the Lord is having respect and reverence for God.
Now that is great.
Like for example, let's say for example, some type of you have a friend, and he say, "Hey, Travis, you want to go to this party?" Oh no, because I honor God, I obey Him. He's my Father.
Right.
I'm living holy for God, so I'm not going to this party because it's not glorifying God.
Right.
So that's fearing God because you love Him and you do everything to you do to please the Lord.
Right.
And a lot of people. A lot of men do not fear God because God doesn't get us right then.
Mm.
And so, but as men, we have to fear God on a daily basis. So this small group, these 8 weeks, going to help us as men grow, not only are my brothers, but as me, to grow in that fear of the Lord. Because the reason why I'm doing this small group, because we're living in our last days.
Yes.
And as men, we have to fear God like no other.
Mm.
So I encourage you, if it's the Lord's will, to come to my small group for these 8 weeks so we can grow as men.
Now, let me ask, amen, amen, praise the Lord. I want to ask, out of all of the subject matters that could be taught to men, that would help men, that would encourage men, that would strengthen men, why do you believe God gave you to teach us concerning the fear of the Lord? All the subjects, even during this season?
I truly believe it's because there is a sense of urgency that we have to do to fear God. Because if we fear God, we will please God like no other. We
right.
will do our tithes and offering. We will fast. We will pray. We will do everything we can. We will witness. We will be bold for Jesus.
Mm.
We will be accountable for one another. We will do everything to be obedient, to be faithful to God. And as men, we have to grow. And the reason why I did this small group, because it's urgent.
Mm.
And we have to fear God like no other, because we're living in our last days. And Jesus can come back at any moment. So the reason why I'm doing this, the fear of the Lord, because as men, we need to fear God like no other, because time is running out.
You know, as you know, I don't, and all of you know, I didn't call you or text you and say, I'm going to ask you this question. Everything's just coming from my heart. I never even looked at it like that. It's like the fear of the Lord is all-encompassing. If you get the fear of the Lord, then all of the other subject matters, like I was talking about, I was strengthening and stuff, all of that falls right in line. Because I have the fear of the Lord, as the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing, and all that get understanding as well. But wisdom is the first principal thing. So when we have the fear of the Lord, everything else goes. Love, treating people correctly, like you were saying, tithing, everything falls under that. If we get that right, then everything else will fall in line. I never, ever, ever looked at that like that. Thank you so much for sharing. Wow, this is going to be something. This is going to be something here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's thank God for the small group leaders. This is going to be a powerful 8 weeks. Now, you can go to orangeburgchurch.com/small groups, and you can register. And again, you'll get the email, and you'll know exactly where to go, what time, the whole 9 yards, and just come looking to share, looking to receive, and looking to share. Again, the Feast of the Lord is not about Shane Wall. It's not about me. It's about all of us sharing with each other, ministering to each other, so that we can receive from somebody else. Amen. So, Father, we just love you. We praise you. Thank you so much for today. Thank you for giving us people who have sacrificed their times, their fasting, their praying, their getting their lessons together to teach us, to train us, to share with us. As Ebony talked about, getting together everything that is even giving her the pleasure of knowing what these ladies are going to experience. Father, as they pray and prepare and write down and research and present to us, all after they have worked all day long, Father, we just bless you. And we pray that you will bless them, give them an extra special blessing for doing this for us so that we can be better, so that we can be better physically and spiritually. And Lord, we just love you and bless you and praise you. And Father, thank you that even though this service highlighted what small groups we're going to have for the next 8 weeks, it was also ministering to us. It was like different sermons that we received, messages from you. So thank you that we are enriched and we are looking forward to going online and registering, Father, so that we can hear you through our brothers. We can hear you through our sisters. And we can encourage each other so that we can have courage. So we love you, Lord. Thank you for all these and other blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And if you would, just for the next couple minutes, bow your head, close your eyes. Maybe there's someone here or you're listening and watching and you're not saved. You don't know Jesus personally. Maybe you did, but you have drifted away from him and you want to come back. Just right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come here to the altar. Just right where you are, the very altar of your heart. I want you to, even if it's in a whisper, I want you to talk to God. And it's my pleasure to lead you in prayer to just renew your relationship with him. Just simply repeat after me and say, Father, I come before you now by Jesus Christ, who died for me and who you raised from the dead. Forgive me for sinning. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. And live your life through me so that I can please the Father. Thank you, Father. And I'm saved. You have my life. I don't have it any longer. Do with me what you want. I belong only to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's thank God. Thank you, Lord.